The Bible says in Numbers 23:21, it says, no misfortune is seen in Jacob. It says, no misery is observed in Israel. It says, no misfortune is seen in Jacob, and no misery is observed in Israel. Why? Because the Lord their God is with them, and the shout of the king is among them. It says, the Lord thy God is with them, and the shout of the king is among them. So I want you to begin to shout. It says, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. So it says, because the shout of the king is in them, no misfortune is in your land, and no misery will be seen in your life. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now we've been talking about healed without scars. And last week, I'm sure you were also blessed. In fact, I was telling Laomi, my life has been transformed just by not even the message alone, but by interaction. Because I spent a considerable number of time with Pastor, and I was telling her that he's changed. That he's almost like a child. I can't really explain it, but that meekness that comes from a child, you know, I just said, Lord, what is this? That was the message in itself. I've been praising my life all week. You know, I said, Lord, what is this? Such meekness coming out of him. I can't really explain it. So I began to go to the Word, and we're going to share something today regarding healed without scars, but I think God wants to emphasize some points regarding his Word. Let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Or chapter 12 first. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Where your success is detached from your person. Where you are empty. That I come to this place and my success cannot be seen on me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like how Jesus came, he said, you are eating with wine babblers. You are the Son of God. He said he stripped himself of everything that he was and took upon him the form of a servant. That I walk into a place and my identity is not based on how much is in my bank account, how much I have achieved career-wise, how much the massive house I live in, or anything like that. My only identity really is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what I'm interested in. I will see in the scriptures today, and God has shifted my paradigm, and he says, look, people have interceded for this time. People have prayed for this time, for this season. You sitting there, people have prayed. Even for the fact that I'm standing here, people have prayed. He said, just entering into their labors. So it would be foolish for a man to think that it is because he's standing here that's why things are happening. There's a band, Shawarma. Shalama. Shalama. What happened was, I think there was a hit that came out, and the song was already out, and people liked it. So they called one of the guys to come and sing. You know, it was already a hit. And the guy sang, and everybody was happy. So the guy thought he was the one. You know, so he started listing out conditions. Say, you have to do 1, 2, 3, but I'm not coming to sing. He sat down at home. This is my phone. I'm waiting for the phone call. Till today, he has been waiting. No, I want to say that God has initiated the party. We're just invited to come and join the party. That's all. Let's understand that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Yemea Communion is the name of the band. Confess. All things are passed away. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me not. He's a new creature in Christ. Amen. Verse 12. For as the body is one and had many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, I will say on male or female, bond or free, African or Caucasian, illiterate or educated, and we have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. You see, the body of Christ, the body of Christ is a living organism, and we are connected one to another. I'm connected to you. I'm connected to, you see, there are so many churches, let me put it that way, and I began to see it in a very deep way this week. If the foot is hurt, follow me please, it affects the body. If the liver is injured, it affects the body. I want to show you something. We're going somewhere. If the foot has a cut, the immune system and the white blood cells gravitate towards that place and creates, and the clothing system go there and try to cover the cut and make sure it's healed. If one member suffers, everybody suffers. We are individuals, but we are connected to the vine. We are one in spirit. You're not separate from me. We are joined, I'm telling you. So understand that from today. There might be several churches, several places, but you are united. You're united. You are my brother, you are my sister. We are actually connected. There's a whole family in heaven and on earth which are connected because of the life we're drinking from. So begin to understand, how can I oppose my brother? How can I fight my brother? It's not, it doesn't even sound right anymore. How can I oppose one that is, we are connected together with? How can I speak words against that person? Because if I do it, since we are the same body, I'm speaking against myself. And I'm speaking against Christ. That's what Jesus says. Look, this is what I want them to understand, that the love that we had together, Father, may be in them. That's the fundamental. See, this is so vital. I was going to teach on something, but the Spirit of God kept on bringing me back in prayer to this point, that we must see it clearly, that people have to understand the platform. From then we'll move on. That is so vital. So the essence of it is that if the foot is injured, we read on, all the direction of the body is to make sure that foot is healed. We are individuals, but the essence of your individuality is to release the life into the body. Let's understand this. So we are living for one another. Do you know why? Jesus says that he died for us, that they which live shall no more live to themselves, but unto him that died for us. Who does he live for? He gave his life for us. So in living for one another, you are living for Christ. We'll see some things in the scriptures today that will make us understand the paradigm. It's not just about getting our needs met. The essence of it all is to pour out the life. We will see it clearly. The essence of everything, after all, is to pour out the life into one another. And we'll see it in the scriptures. Let's go on. Let's read on. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? God was saying that we have to celebrate our individuality. In the spirit realm, the fact that we look different physically, it means that our spirits have different compositions, in the sense that the manifestation of that spirit will operate in a different way. For example, his manifestation might be to open businesses, my manifestation might be to preach the gospel, it might be just different expressions of that spirit. The fact that we are different means that our spirit man has a different composition. Let's understand that. A man might even just, might just be to help. So let's begin to understand. God said we have to go into those areas of our individuality in the spirit. We're going on. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now had God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Whether he's in a deeper life, whether he's in redeemed, mountain of fire, as long as he has the life of God flowing into his veins and is drinking of that spirit, he's one with you. And you cannot open your mouth and criticize publicly in the presence of sinners and join them to pull down your own body. Even if they are saying it, even if it is legitimate, you cover your body. You are one body. Let's begin to understand that. When you begin to understand that, you begin to see how God begins to pour out revelation knowledge and how the Holy Ghost begins to move in the midst of those people. And those members of the body which you think to be less honorable, upon these will bestow more abundant honor. And our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. That there should be no schism, 25, in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Our primary goal, really, our primary goal, the end of it, is to make sure there's no schism in the body. And every man should stand and contribute his part to that. Simon, Simon, do you love me? Yes, I love you, Jesus. I worship you every day. Simon, feed my sheep. Simon, Simon, do you love me? Yes, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. No. She says, no, no, no. You want to show you love me? Feed my sheep. Jesus, he's saying, this is my body. I am the head. Think about it, that this is the head, Jesus. And this is his body. All the body of Christ is his body. All your brother you see and your sisters. Just begin to think about it like that. They are his body. I will help you sort of focus your mind again. Acts chapter 9. Verse 4. You see, this is so important that's why Paul told Timothy in 1 Thessalonians about the deacon of the role of a bishop. He said, let's go there. Let's go there. Let's go there and see. Remember that scripture? We used to quote it in school. If a man desires the office of a bishop, desires a good thing. Is it? I can't really locate it now, but we were talking about the office of a deacon. He says when you describe it, that means you must understand the dynamics of a family. If he doesn't understand the dynamics of a family, like you put him in the body of Christ in a place of authority, he will destroy everything. That's what he was trying to explain. He said, look, this deacon must be husband of one wife. He must be grave. He must understand the dynamics of his household, because that is a paradigm, like a similar expression of the way the body of Christ functions. So if you take that man, I don't really understand the dynamics of the workings in a family setting, that you guys are united by blood and that you have to cover, even if there's a mistake in the midst, that the role is to cover and to bring healing. If you put him in a position of authority, he will destroy everything, because he doesn't really understand the dynamics of the family. The essence of everything, let me tell you today, when we wake up and pray, while we confess the word, while we say we are going to be wealthy on the earth, is that we will be able to see, be warmed and filled, one and two, and give people the things that are needed for the body, in the body. Understand that it's first in the body. Jesus says, "This by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one towards another. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren, especially those of the household of faith first." Because once you do that, and that unity is seen and begins to increase, that is the force of attraction to the world. That's what I'm saying. It's very important. It is so fundamental. I've gone back to the fathers of the faith. I've listened. I've said, and this is the point where we have probably need to make some adjustment in our mindset. We need to make that adjustment in our mindset. We're not releasing God's word. We're not building up ourselves in our most holy faith. We're not meditating on the word just to grow up for what end? What is the end? What is the motivation? What is the driving force? Is it just to become a spiritual giant, to have scriptures to quote, or to dispel things, or to even move mountains with my words? No, that's not the end. The end is that I will release the life that has been deposited inside me by these hours into the body. That's the end. That's it. Because it says that the whole essence of everything is that we'll grow up into him in all things to reach the stature as a body. As a body, not as individuals only. As a body, to grow up into him in all that. And the only way that will happen is that those who are spiritual will bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please themselves. They are spiritual, but they can please themselves even if they are spiritual. But the essence of it is to bear the infirmities of the weak. Because this church, we're entering into something. Something very powerful. You see, you don't criticize any system. You show examples and manifestations. And when those examples are seen, then men will say, oh, this is a better way to do it. We don't point fingers. Let's understand this. But when God was showing me this thing, he said, if one man sins, it affects the body. If one man, your brethren, sins, this is not me, it's not me. See? No, forget that. If your leg is hurting, it doesn't affect your body. Let's begin. I want to show you the depth of what we're talking about here. It affects the body. So when you go to God in prayer, that's when you understand what Jesus really talked about. The Father, we have sinned against you. Where your brother sinned, though? Is that deep? So when you begin to see this, you begin to understand that, oh, we have missed this thing. You say, he did it. He did it. Can you imagine he did it? Can you imagine that pastor? That means there's no concept of understanding. Just think about it. Well, you should go to his clothes and say, Lord God, we have sinned against you. That's what we're going to. Because Jesus Christ is trying to wrap up. I don't know when he's coming back. But we are representing the final stages of his return. I might be here, I might not be here when he comes. So let's understand that. We are living for Christ himself, and Christ is the head of the church. You can't say you're living for the head and not the body. How is that possible? I love my wife's head. I don't love her body. My wife says she loves my head. She loves my, I don't understand. How does that work? No, let's begin to think about it. I worship you, head, I worship you. And his leg is bleeding. So let's begin to understand that, you know, God is trying to take us to a realm where there is absolute power. And that's where it starts from. Acts chapter 9. Just to emphasize a few things, I will round up, I'll go where I will show you where we're going. Acts chapter 9. So, we're connected though. There's nothing we can do. Another thing I want to say is that connection does not mean proximity. Doesn't mean we have to be plain. The liver cannot stay close to the eyes. That's why it's there. If the liver comes here, it will cause problems. You understand what I'm saying? No, let's understand this clearly. It doesn't mean that, some people are not meant to be close together. There's no argument about it. If the nose decides to go to where the kidney is, there's a problem. Your face will be deformed. So God has done, he says he put everything as it pleased him. So he understands the character and the nature of people. To say, let this one be here, let this one be there, so that there's no schism in the body. We understand that. So it's not a matter of that. No, we don't have to be discussing every day, but we understand, we have that strong core, that if I hear anything that happened to my, even though I haven't seen him for years, spoken to him for years, and I hear this thing happen with my brother, I go into the place of prayer and say, Lord God, we have sinned against you. Say, if any man sin a sin that is not unto death, what should you do? Ask for life. Let that life flow to that part of the body that needs it. Let's understand this. You hear that this church, that church, something happened, there's a catastrophe and all this. You now join the sin. How can you do? I mean, you are joining the sin now to attack your own body. That means you don't understand the concept of who you really are and what the body is. I went to a Muslim in the hospital I was working. He sat down with me. He started talking. And I said, start talking about Nigeria. First time in Nigeria. And from Nigeria, I now went to churches and pastors. I said, look, I said, I'm a pastor. He said, hey, you're one of them. I said, I'm a pastor. He said, fire on. He started, I started about aeroplane and jets. I said, I'm looking forward to buying one. You know, so by the time he finished, I said, look, you know, you have to protect, what I'm trying to say is that you have to protect your body. You can't go to the scene and start slandering. You can't, it's not done. It is your body you're slandering. Like if a man is speaking about his wife, he's talking to himself. You understand that? He's talking to yourself. You know, as a man yet hated his own flesh. So you understand that body concept, Acts chapter 9. So let that be our mindset. Let that be the foundation. You know, we're just here for a season, maybe 100 years. Begin to think like that. 100 years, the time of your sojourning on earth. I mean, 100 years to accomplish a purpose that God created you for. To discover it, to accomplish it, and to release it on the earth. 100 years, we're not going to be here forever. After the 100 years, or whatever the time is for everybody, you take off the earth suit, which is your legal right on the earth, and you go to heaven and continue there from where you stopped. Think about it. Let's think about it. So all we are doing now is to release that life on the inside of us on the earth. After that, we just take it off and sleep back. Continue there in another place, but we're still part of the family. We're leaving some people here. It's a continuous family. It says the God whom the family in heaven and on earth is named. It's continuous. Let's begin to have that mindset, and it will help you to interact with life in a different way from the natural man. Don't you see things differently? Acts chapter 9, verse 4. You see this now, Paul was talking. I want to just emphasize what I said. When Jesus met Paul on the way to Damascus, and he said unto him, he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou the church? Is that what he said? Why persecutest thou me? Who was Paul? Was Jesus there? He wasn't there. If you go to Matthew 25:40, you say, I am Jesus Christ, who you are persecuting. So anything you do to a member of the body of Christ, you are doing it to Jesus Christ. If you slander a member of the body of Christ, you are speaking against Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what he has done. If you treat badly a member of the body of Christ, you are treating Christ badly. As we said, you cannot love me when you cannot love the brethren. He said it's not possible because you don't understand the concept. He is representing, we are part of one another. Let's begin to have that mindset. Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. I want to paint that picture, then we won't be long today. We'll just go into something and initiate the process. Next week is the last episode of the series. And we're going to do a meeting, a joy meeting. Amen. 25:40. I want to just emphasize it again. Matthew 25:40. See, and the king shall answer. Let's go to 25:34. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For when I was hungered, you gave me meat. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? He says, 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it to one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. That's just the buttress what I've been saying. Understand that. It's very, very vital, because this is the foundation for everything that will happen in your life. Because it says that eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. You're looking for revelation. The things that God has prepared for them that love him. Listen to what I say. He said, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. This is what opens your eyes to the things of the Spirit. Because you understand the operations of the body, you know God is going to reveal more things to you, and because you know they're going to pour it out into the body, because the gifts of the Spirit are given to every man to profit withal. God is interested in the body, in the church. It is him. He's the head of the church. Just understand that. And that's why love is the greatest. In fact, Kenneth Copeland said something. He said he had a revelation from Jesus Christ. Listen to this very carefully. A revelation from Jesus Christ. He wanted to introduce the body of Christ. The Holy Ghost told him, Jesus told him to stop. Don't introduce it yet, because it will cause division in the body. He said, the division, the unity of the Spirit is more important to me than knowledge. So if you make this foundation of your life, Satan cannot touch you. I want to be very wealthy. I know clearly why in my mind. I know clearly. So that I can have enough to give. You know, Paul was telling those guys, he said, look, you people that are lazy and are not working, because you don't understand the body. They are being a parasite. You don't even want to labor at all. You're not even going to work. You're not even trying to. Some guys were just there. And I said, those things will not work, will not eat. Because some people can abuse this thing, say we are in the body of Christ. This does not work, will not eat. He said, understand this, that the essence of it, change your mindset, look for a job. I was telling those guys in the book that when you do that job, you will have something to give to them that need. You understand? So that's what was happening. And you have to understand is that if it is anything you have is for the body. It's for the body. It's like a family setup. The husband, the wife, the children. It is anything the man is doing, he's thinking about the children. If one suffers, all suffer. That's why in this church, we understand the culture. Nobody suffers. If one suffers, if one is in prosperity, the essence of the prosperity is to distribute. We understand it clearly. That's the culture of the Holy Ghost. That's what happened in the Acts of Apostles. That's when Ananias and Sapphira, they tried to break the thing. He said, you lie. He didn't lie to Paul. He said, you didn't lie to me. You lied to the Holy Ghost. Let's understand that we are in a compact system where we are united, when we are connected. If I went to Kenneth Copeland and said that, I begin to understand it clearly. He said, look. He said, you have to understand marriage. See, marriage is not just a toy thing. Marriage is serious. He says, marriage, he said something very categorical. He said, the spirit of Gloria Copeland is inside me as much as the spirit of Jesus is inside me. So if I go to a prostitute place, I'm carrying Gloria Copeland with me. If I'm having an affair, I'm carrying my wife with me. That's how deep it is. So you're carrying one another. That's why you can be somewhere and the Holy Ghost is prompting you, pray for him. Pray for Akin. Pray for Joshua. Pray for people. Pray for them. You're carrying one another. You're carrying one another. You understand? So let's begin to live like that, and that's the foundation. From then on, we'll spring forth the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. Because you are in tune with one another. Mr. X has a need in his life. Because you're in tune. He has 1, 2, 3, 4 going on in his life. You begin to flow in the gifts of this. That's how it works. That's why I say, I show you a more excellent way. You can desire the gift, but I show you a more excellent way. Meaning that once your heart is predisposed like this, the gifts of the Spirit will effortlessly manifest in your life. When you just see us operating. This, Jay will come and say, look. I just saw in a dream that you need 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I made provision for it. Come and take it. You know, so I was praying and I just saw, that's how it should be. A couple of us praying for one guy. He was preparing for the meeting. He was preaching in a man's church. And the man said, he called him in the morning. He said, Kenneth, in your garage at home, I saw something in the spirit. I saw Gloria Copeland and her friend. An explosion took place in the garage. Is anybody trying to paint something in the garage? He said, yes. Because he was so busy preparing for the meeting, there was no time for him to consider other areas. But God raised that man up because he was in tune to pray for him. So we're here for one another. That's what I'm saying. We're connected. Let it sink into our conscience. We're connected. And he called Gloria. I mean, they said, Gloria, please don't paint anything. This is what happened. What would have happened if the man didn't pick it up in this way? God would have arranged another way. But that's how it is. We are connected to one another. In fact, it's so interesting that this is how deep it is. That I might need a pair of cufflinks. I might forget mine at home. This is what I'm talking about, interacting in the spirit. Someone might be coming in his house, just trying to get rid of me. Just for one, and no reason, just put a pair of cufflinks somewhere in his car. And I came out and said, I left my cufflinks. Oh, I just bought an extra one. See that kind of operation? That's what we're talking about. In the spirit. You understand, meeting, being concerned with one another, carrying one another's burden and fulfilling the law of Christ. You know, so that's how we do it. And once that begins to happen, then 2 Corinthians chapter 1, let's go there. 1 Corinthians begins to become a reality in our lives. Because we have a purpose, and we'll see why we must overcome. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we must overcome because we need to contribute our own part to the body. So don't be discouraged. I will tell you some things today. Don't be discouraged at all. We'll understand certain things. Don't be discouraged at all. 1 Corinthians 2:1. It says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So there's a certain wisdom which God has ordained before the world, like we heard this morning, unto our glory. So before it happened, God had made a provision, and he has a certain kind of wisdom, which is foolishness to the world, but is the glory that will be revealed through it. I'll say some things here. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So God's wisdom is a certain kind of wisdom which Satan doesn't have access to, because in killing and crucifying Jesus Christ, he has sort of given, he's putting himself in constant jeopardy. I'll put it that way. As it's written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. So that's what I was saying there. Them that love him, that are committed to this lifestyle of helping, of giving themselves, understanding that the platform is about the body of Christ. Understanding clearly that the platform is about the body of Christ. And having that mindset, you are opening yourself to constant flow of revelation, knowledge, and light to increase and to contribute that part to the body. So let's understand that. So he says, that wisdom, the prince of this world did not know it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And that glory is something we'll talk about. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going somewhere. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You see, I want to encourage you, never give up. I remember when I was in school, I just think about it today as I was worshiping. I thought that was the end of life. In the sense that I thought, because the situation was so, if I almost, it was so much for me that I thought that was all about life. I mean, the weight was so much on my head. But now when I look back, I say, what? I mean, so never give up. No matter how it looks as if, never give up. Never give up. But do you know why I'm saying that? Because you are in contact with the life. You are in contact. It's not by your power, no. You are in contact with something that always translates to glory. We will show you something today. Never give up. Because I used to think that if I almost left, it was so much. I said, this thing is too much for me. It was heavy. I thought that was it. In fact, there was one day that I was walking this way. My other classmate was walking the other way. You know, think about it. I repeated the class because I didn't read my books. So, I was walking this way. Think about it. All the whole class was walking the other way too. It's like I was walking this way. I don't know how it. I should make the Lord arrange it. I was walking one way. I was going to my lecture of the class I was repeating to, and all my classmates had gone ahead were walking the other way. I can remember, it's like that day, I almost said, let the floor open, and I entered the floor. You know, so let's begin to understand. I thought, oh my goodness, this is it. No, it's not over. It can never be over if you do not give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So therefore, seeing we have this situation will pass. He says, our light affliction, listen to me, is but for a moment. And the affliction, God calls it light. Do you know why he calls it light? It means that no matter how it looks heavy in your eye, the glory that follows is the one that is heavy. It's an exceeding weight. So the glory has weight. That's why it is light. So whatever it is you are thinking is that heavy, there's a glory coming that has more weight compared to that affliction. That's what God is saying. So whether you think that this thing is... there's something coming that is much heavier than that light. Because God never takes a man from... Let's say a man was working as a businessman before, or let's say he was a driver, for example, and something happens and he loses his car and everything. He never takes the man back to become a driver. Never. God takes the man from wherever he has come higher than where he became, where he left. Always. Look at Joseph. From prison, he took him there to the throne. Look at Daniel. So, he never takes him back. Look at the three Hebrew boys. From the fire, they went higher than where they were before they entered the fire. That's what I'm telling you. So, don't think about going to the place where you were before. No. That's where God's plan is. God's plan is to take you above that place from where you were before. You had a job. You lost your job. And, for example, you're unemployed. God is not saying, maybe God is telling you that you're going to start a business. It's always higher than where you fell from. So he took me out of a miry clay and he put my feet upon the ground to stay and established my goings. And men saw it and they said, wow, this is what the Lord has done. That's how God operates. But I want to show you some things that, as we've participated in those 40 days, I want to show you some things in the scriptures. If I want my mates to see me now, they say, they can't even, the conscious of what happened in the school, you know, in fact, there was one time that one guy, my classmate then, because I repeated the year, I'm painting this picture to talk to you. I repeated the year, so my classmate, who finished maybe a year before me, someone else was asking him, do you know? He said, oh, he was your mate. I said, no, he was my junior. No, you understand? I don't know what someone said. But you understand the story? So the person was saying, it was your mate. No, it wasn't my mate. It was my junior. You know, so like the things you hear, you think, but now when he sees, and I'm just trying to show you how God works. When he sees me now, please, can you help me get a job? I mean, you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm not digging at the person. I'm just telling you how God operates. Because you're in contact with a certain life that cannot be destroyed by anything on the outside. You are somebody that is not affected by the circumstances on the outside. I want you to begin to see yourself. That life is incorruptible, is indestructible, is beyond the reach of change and beyond the reach of decay. the thing you are talking about, he says it's been years, God can compress all those years. That's why he says 1,000 years is like a day. So the thing that will take someone 1,000 years to accomplish, God can accomplish it in one day in your life. So understand the content of, who you really are. Did Joseph think he was going to be prison when he woke up that morning, premise when he woke up that morning? He didn't. He didn't think that he was in prison. He didn't think about it. Seeing we have this ministry, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. As we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I'll say something here. When you're going through these challenges, you're going to be saying that people have gone through these 40 days. You've seen a certain degree of manifestation, but some people say, where is the manifestation? When a woman is pregnant, she might not have delivered, but she's pregnant. The baby is there. If you haven't seen it yet, the baby is inside. I'm telling you this. And when it's time for labor, it's as if the pains begin to increase. It's as if the situation on the outside seems to get worse. Understand this. It's as if, but don't be deceived. He says, an adulterous generation seek after a sign. So don't try and use dishonesty. See, there's only one sign that will be shown to them. The sign of Jonas. That's the only sign. What is the sign of Jonas? Let me read it, then we'll go there. See, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, that the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God who has commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So that situation you are going through, God wants to just show you that, look, there is something inside you that will bring you out. It's not by your might or power. And the essence of it all, like I said, is that you will now take that knowledge. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says that God comforts us. Hold your place. Let's go. I just want to paint something. Let's go there quickly. So you understand what is happening exactly. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. All comfort. So no matter what the situation, even if it was childhood abuse, if whatever it is, if you were rejected, it says all comfort. Who comforted us in some of our tribulations? No. All of our tribulations. That why? Why? That's what I'm talking about. You're connected to one another. Why? Why is he comforting you? That ye may be able to comfort them that are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith you yourselves are comforted. That's the essence of it. Almost like this. Romans 8 says the whole of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. For they were subject to bondage by reason of him that subjected the same in hope, that the creature itself shall be liberated from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons. He said we too, ourselves, who have the first fruit of the Spirit, we groan within ourselves. It's almost as if that God, something happens to a man who has this life in him. The same things has happened to everybody around. But this man, because of that life, was able to receive resurrection power and manifest that resurrection power in that particular area so that he can now go out and help the people that are. That's how it is. So don't see it as yourself. See it as you are in this situation, coming out of it, that you now instruct people that are in any need. That's what it says. So the essence of it all is that you want to release that life into the body of Christ. and the world as it were. So you're going to think, don't look at this, me. No. Kizmo was crying, Lord God. God said, look, forget about yourself. Think about me and the body. Now when someone is having that issue, you can come as a voice and say, look, I've been through this thing, you're coming out. Release that life. He says, release that life into them. That is the essence. So when you're going through things, an opportunity to receive the life of God and manifest that life, that you might be able to comfort other people. So embrace the cross or something. Embrace it. It might be tough, but embrace it. I know the number of people I speak to. Because God has delivered me from so many deaths. I know the number of things I speak to. I embrace the cross. When a tragic event happened in my life, I woke up and said, I thank you for every single thing, for the loss of this life. I woke up and I began to rejoice in Christ. Healing came into my soul. When my first wife passed away. That is the only way you can receive healing. You go to God and begin to rejoice in Him and infuse His life into you, that I can tell people, look, this is what you have to do to get healing. Let's understand this. It is a depth. It is not about you. It's about the body of Christ. It's about comforting those with the comfort you have received inside your heart. Let's understand this. Joshua, Jonah chapter 2. So what do you do? What happens? What do you do? I haven't said all this. The apostles preached a sermon. I thought he preached a magnificent sermon from Genesis to Revelation. You have spoken, okay, now, men and brethren, what shall we do? I was speaking to the pastor, he said, your job is not complete as a pastor, as a teacher, if you haven't told them what to do. If you have preached this sermon, preached this sermon, okay, I've heard. Okay, now, what shall we do? Jonah, chapter 2, we'll round up now. There is hope of a tree. That thing is true. See, there's no hope. As long as a man is breathing, you will live to tell people that, look, come and sit down. I understand. But a man does not understand. A man does not breathe, he does not understand what you're talking about. In fact, then, when I'm sitting with my colleagues in school, they will say, someone will just come to the room and say, ah, you have this exam. I'll be sitting there. So you didn't pass this exam. What are you doing? In my heart will bleed. I say, you don't understand. If one guy even came to me and said, you failed the church. Not you, it's like you failed the body. I said, you failed the body of Christ. Because I had, there was one, you know, in medical school, they put the results and they put the mark. And I was the class, the leader of the Christians. He came to me and looked at me. My friend was telling me, my friend, said, he looked at me and said, why did you do this? My eyes, if I think about it, what has come to my eyes? My eyes were watery. So why did you do this? He just did it. He looked at me like that and walked away. God is good. Okay, Jonah. So you will tell them, and one thing about it is that when you see people going through things in the body of Christ, participate with them in prayer. Because the consolation they receive will flow into your life. It's a very practical message. Participate with them in whatever form you can. The consolation, it says, if we are partakers of the sufferings, we shall be partakers of the consolation. Participate with them in the thing. Participate with them in prayer in any way you can. Go with them through it. You're receiving the consolation inside that thing. That's what Jesus was saying. See, Peter, James, and John, come and join me so you partake. You were sleeping. You know? So let's do that. Let's understand that. Now, what shall we do? Jonah chapter 2. We'll continue next week. And we enter into the joy. Jonah chapter 2. Some of these things I want to share. And now they can't remember these things. So. We feel the body of Christ. Jonah chapter 2. And funny enough, let me tell you something. These are members of the body of Christ too. You understand? So, I know what happened after that. What happened after that incident? When I did the exam and I came out at the end of it with victory, because it was. Let me explain what I'm saying to you. the incursions were so bad. You know, I think God used medical school to teach me his ways. I've not understood that even if it's a mistake, it doesn't really matter. The life of God will quicken it. My test, incursions are tests that you do which consume about 30% of your man. They were so bad that even if I get like almost all the exam marks in the other one, it might not cover it to cross over the line, you know. So when the results came out, because I went into God in prayer and I did certain things which I will share for the next week, that when the outcome came out and I excelled, a sinner said, "There is a God." The same thing that my member was criticizing. I want you to understand this. So understand how you interact with people in the body of Christ. A sinner said, "Look, thank God, there is a God. See, this guy can pass the sinner." I said, "There is God." And that guy is a born again Christian today. That's what Paul was saying, that by my bonds, it doesn't have to happen the way you think it will happen. No. This thing is very, this life is deep. Christianity is not a shallow, we're just reading a meeting, and it's no. It's a, there's a depth to it, which we'll be entering into. Jonah chapter 2, we'll just round up with this. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord God out of the fish's belly, and said, "I cried by reason of my affliction." People have been crying and praying unto the Lord, they've been confessing. "And he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the sea, and the flood compassed me, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight." You might feel that way. "Yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were trapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains of the earth. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God." I mean, what's worse than going out there? So I'm trying to tell you that there's nothing in front of you that is insurmountable and that will not be surmounted. And what did Jonah do? He cried unto the Lord. He said, "My soul fainted within me. I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came up unto thee into thy holy temple." You might have been confessing God's word. You might be saying, "Ah, you might have been doing all that. You might have gone through the fact that you believe you've received it. But it still feels as if outside seems to be very dark. You've even received a word from God, directly from God, saying, it is done. You know, you have the feeling that something's about to break forth. Say, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Even though you have those feelings and those knowing on the inside, think on the outside, same thing. There doesn't seem to be any change as you want it to be. One day you wake up and you have this, you're excited. The next day the events of life come again and they crush that hope you had. Let me tell you something. The child is in there. It's intact. Don't observe lying vanities. And how do you do that? 9 is the key. 9 is the key. "I will sacrifice with the voice of thanksgiving." That's where the manifestation is, honestly. So until I began to give thanks for the tragic situation. See, I say, "Father, I thank you, but this is an opportunity to experience resurrection power." "I will pay my vow." That vow is a vow of praise. Salvation is of the Lord. And what happened? Because when he did that, God had answered him, saying, but when he did that, what happened? There was a direct command. That's when deliverance came. And the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah out. It is that thanksgiving in the midst of the contrary evidence that brings about deliverance. I'm telling you, that is the key. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. I'll show you again. Begin to rejoice and give him thanks for the things he has promised you and he has showed you, and begin to list them. "Father, I thank you because that was the law of liberty." That's what Copeland did. That is back pain.
when he says, I will show you the perfect law of breakthrough. That is the thing. He said the woman was crippled. That prayed for her. Say, Father, I thank you because she was still on the chair. I remember when I was crippled and I couldn't cook for my husband. I thank you because, and now I can now cook for him on the chair. I thank you because of the abundance you have given unto me. I'm just talking. I thank you because now I can pay all the bills. It's such a good feeling to be free from all the harassments. I thank you because it is good to have good health. Before I was sick, now I'm well. I thank you because I couldn't control my time, for now I have time to pray because my business is flourishing so much while the companies are chasing you. Do what's in the belly of the whale. Say, I will sacrifice with the voice of thanks. I thank you. That is the sign of Jonas. That's what Jesus was talking about. Let me show you something else. If you look at Psalm, you see that's how Jesus, that relationship how it came into Jesus' life when he was under the ground. Isaiah. Let me just show you quickly before we go. We'll continue next week. And next week it's going to be very serious. We'll practice it next week. And as a body, we'll use the power of the corporate anointing. When we understand that we're one unit. In fact, when we come together to pray, let me tell you something what happens. When you come together to pray and you have a prayer request individually to God, as we lift up to God and we're praying in the spirit, what happens is that I'm using energy on your behalf. That's how united we are. Not consciously, as I'm praying the spirit regarding my own need, because we are connected, I'm releasing for you. We're together. It's deep. So when you understand that, you know that we are connected. You cannot. So that's why it says mark them that cause division. It's very important. Now let's finish this. Okay, Hezekiah, he was sick unto death, 38. Last scripture. And what happened? Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and cried unto the Lord and said, remember me, O Lord, I beseech you. And what happened? He says, and there came a word in form of the Lord unto Isaiah, saying, go to Hezekiah and say unto him, I have heard your prayer and your years I have increased and all that. But nothing happened. God had answered the prayer, but nothing happened on the outside. Go to verse 17. Say, behold, for peace I had great bitterness. We're still talking, but God has answered his prayers. That's how it might seem like that. God has answered your prayer. All the ones you have been confessing, God has answered. Say, from the very first day you made the supplication, I answered you. Look at this. 8. Say, for the grave cannot praise you. Death cannot celebrate you. They that go down to the pit, Isaiah 38:18, cannot hope for truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father of the children shall make known thy truth. Say, because the Lord was ready to save me, therefore, I will sing my songs to the string instruments all the days of my life. God was there. As he began to sing, what happened? And the Lord said to Isaiah, take a lump for manifestation to take place. Hit that thing with a lump and let manifestation take place. That's the thing that happened to Jonah. As you stand, the Bible says, as they began to sing in prison, as they began to sing, earthquakes, as they began to sing in thanksgiving to God, that is when the floor began to shake. As they began to sing, as they were marching, see, as they began to sing, the Lord set ambushment. He had answered the prayer, but for the manifestation of the answer to come, go up with the voice of thanksgiving. That's what releases the answer. Let me see. People are not doing that. Say everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. The voice of thanksgiving. Begin to give him thanks. Father, I thank you. That's what happened. The one was giving thanks. I thank you now and I walk. I thank you now as you begin to give thanks. He now pointed and said, now woman, arise and walk. The body of Christ joined her, began to give thanks for her. Now woman, I said to you, arise and walk. And she got up on the wheelchair. God has answered. Father, I thank you because you've answered that prayer. I was listening to Hagin yesterday. See, I want you to understand this thing. See, I was praying for you and laid hands on her. God said, don't lay hands on her. Tell her to rise up and walk. For she's been healed. The woman, God tell you, rise up and walk. This woman that was paralyzed, cancer ridden, everything. He went out of the room to let her get dressed. His wife got her dressed. He went out of the room. He came back, they got her dressed. They were holding her on one side. She was so cachectic. I mean, so bony that she couldn't stand. Her feet were going to the floor. He came out. Same time she did that, I said, Father, I give you thanks for she has been healed. Father, I give you thanks because she has been. I want you to understand the power of thanksgiving. I give you thanks because she has been healed. She was trying to say, I give you thanks, Lord. With a weak voice, I give you thanks, Lord. As they have to leave her again, she will fall to the ground. Just imagine the. He said, when she did that, they looked at him. They were looking at her again. Your God, you said she was healed. let's understand the power of the supernatural. We're not talking about natural events. We're talking about the supernatural, super coming on the natural to cause the supernatural event. Father, I give you thanks because she's healed. Not lying vanities. Excuse me. No. Father, I give you thanks because the word says she has been healed. You told me she's been healed. As they began to sing, Father, I give you. They didn't pray. No, they didn't start praying. Lord, 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 Lord. No. God has said, you have done it. God has done it already. It is the voice of thanks that we need to lift up. That's what God is saying. That is the doing. That is what you ought to do. Lift up that voice of thanksgiving and begin to call it as done. But I thank you because you have done it. She has been healed by the stripes. At the fifth time, the left her. One step. Two steps. The obvious erupted. Stay there with the voice of thanksgiving. The grave cannot hold a man that gives thanks. Father, I give you thanks and I give you praise. Begin to give God thanks for the things he has done in your life already. You've asked him, he's done it. Lift up the voice of thanksgiving and begin to give him thanks. Pay your vow of praise unto him. Thank him for all the scriptures he has promised you and the actual manifestation. Begin to give him thanks. See yourself in actual possession of that thing. Give thanks in the past tense. Don't observe lying vanities. Satan is trying to just put a smoke screen over your face. Turn back to the holy mountain and begin to give him thanks. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks. Begin to give him thanks. It's a broken relationship. Thank him for it. Thank him for that situation you went through because you now understand that now you are in a position to receive life and infuse that life to the body of Christ. Father, we give you thanks. Oh, we give you thanks. Oh, we give you thanks. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your resurrection power. As we give thanks, thank you, Lord Jesus. Begin to receive resurrection life. Begin to receive resurrection life. For he's done all things for you already in Christ Jesus. Begin to receive the things, the actual manifestation that he has done in your life. Begin to receive it now in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you thanks. We bless your name. Thank you, Jesus. As we break bread, begin to thank Jesus. Begin to thank God for the sacrifice because that's the basis for everything. And you know, nothing in Christianity, in the New Covenant, is a religious ordinance. Everything is an avenue for the release of life. There's nothing like we're doing it because of religion. No. Everything after the resurrection of Jesus Christ has to do with the infusion of power. There's nothing, God is not doing anything just because we have to do like an ordinance like the old covenant. No, everything we do has to do with the infusion of life. So as we partake of this bread and the cup, use as a point of contact to receive the life of God. If you are weary, receive that strength as we break bread and drink the cup for strength even to practice these things that we've taught. For and the reawakening of your joy, if you've lost your joy,
reach out and say, as I partake, so you have to be deliberate about it, as I partake of the body and the bread of the body of Jesus Christ, as I drink of the cup, I am infused with the life of God. Begin to make definite declarations. As I partake of the body and as I drink of the cup, the doors have been opened up unto me according to the word of God. So begin to be deliberate about these things. We're not just playing religion. It's not a religious ordinance. They are exact laws that God has given to us. Begin to be deliberate and intentional about your faith and the use of your words. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks. So let's do that as individuals. Then we'll round up with declarations. Father, we give you thanks. We bless your name. Make those declarations. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks.